From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let the people of Salem and California say,
His steadfast love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Our anthem this morning is Answer to the Call by our senior choir. It's directed by Stacy Frederick.
Before our God, will the Lord
Old Testament lesson is from Joshua 24, verses 1 through 3 and 14 through 25. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your fathers lived of old beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if you be unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us up and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Our gospel reading and his message, "What Was It Jesus Said?" is by guest minister, Reverend Rich Reinmold.
Our gospel reading is the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." May grace and peace be unto you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's good to be back with you again. Apparently, I didn't do so bad last time and got invited back. I really do like coming here because it sort of reminds me of the church that I spent the last 27 years of my life before retirement. This structure, the sanctuary, even looks very similar. It's kind of like coming home. And this pulpit feels very, very familiar. As a matter of fact, it's almost Well, I don't know who copied who, but this is almost identical to where I used to stand all those 27 years. There was a difference, though. This has a flashlight in it for emergency use only. And I guess that is it for in case the sermon's not illuminating enough, you can use this flashlight. Now, the one I used to stand in had a fire extinguisher, and you can figure that out yourselves. As I pondered what to preach about, I looked this morning at the church calendar. Well, I looked the other day. And I noticed that today in UCC land, this is Stewardship Sunday. But I know how much we all love to hear sermons about money, and I just can't wait to hear the next one, even though Jesus said a lot about money, a whole lot. But I don't know you well enough to talk about you. I don't know what your needs as a congregation, what those needs are. Although I do know that, well, I don't know too many churches that have too much of it. But anyhow, we're not going to talk about that. The one thing that is obvious to me is the changes that we're going through. We're in the midst of a seasonal change. The leaves, which just a few short days ago were hanging on the trees, are now on the ground. And in some cases, people feel they need raking. Although I noticed that if you wait long enough, they will blow over to the neighbor's yard. And my neighbor just loves to pick them up. I know that because he's out there raking every time a leaf falls, and I really don't want to take that joy away from him. There's also another change coming to this congregation. Church is in the process of seeking a new pastor, and that definitely always brings changes. It's funny how some things change, some things don't. Well, maybe funny is not the word. You know, a few years back, I went to my first high school reunion. After 40 years and never seeming to have the right time, I decided it might be nice to go and see some of my old buddies, maybe occasional old girlfriend. My wife was real interested in that. And, you know, former acquaintances. And it was a real shock to my soul. I expected to see the kids I used to know. But what I ran into was a bunch of old people with graying hairs and pot bellies. And some even had no hair. And I could see that most had not missed a meal in a while. And so it just, I don't know if I'm going back again or not. I don't know. It's a fact of life that nothing remains the same, that all of creation is in flux in one way or another. But it seems to me that some of the things on which we used to anchor our lives have come loose. For instance, I can remember when the church meant something to just about everybody in one way or another. It seemed that everybody belonged to a congregation of some kind. It was just the expectation of living. The whole culture expected it. And if you were a politician and didn't list some kind of church affiliation in your list of credentials, your chances at the polling booth dimmed greatly. Now, don't think I'm about to start on some sort of diatribe about the good old days, remember them, because what I remember weren't really all that good. There was poverty. There was hunger. There were wars and talk of wars. There were tragic deaths. So, really, in a way, things really haven't changed all that much. But I do perceive one thing that has changed that I want us to think about this morning, and that is the goal that we who call ourselves Christians were all striving for at one time. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, look to Jesus as the perfecter of the faith. In other words, we are striving to pattern or model our lives after that man of Nazareth, the one we know as the Son of God, the Christ. In the past, there were different understandings about him, still are, but his teachings were very important because we look to those as the foundation for living. The notion was that if we lived our lives as Jesus did, we would have a better world. where every man and woman would have a good life, which would lead to happiness and peace and well-being. And, well, you get the idea. I don't sense that that is the goal anymore. That somehow we have come to believe that my wants, the me, or the I should come before anyone or anything else. Sort of like the fellow said, I don't care what Jesus said, I've got my mind made up. Like we've forgotten, or maybe don't care what he preached, what he taught, what he lived. I got a phone call the other day from the Nielsen ratings. Maybe you did too, because they're surveying the area. Well, that set me off. They wanted to know about my radio listening habits. I don't listen to the radio anymore, especially talk radio. I can't stomach some of the stuff that's on there, so I keep it off. If there's no Cardinal ball game on, it's not on. And even if they're playing, I sometimes can't stomach what they're doing either, and I turn it off. This morning, in our first scripture reading, we heard from the book of Joshua. And what we find there is a recalling of the covenant renewal ceremony at Shechem. Joshua was the one who led the people of Israel out of the wilderness. They had been following Moses, but Moses dies before they enter the promised land. And Joshua has brought them into the promised land. And now they've been there a little while. And it's become clear to Joshua that the people of Israel have been turning away from the God who brought them to where they were. They've been worshiping the gods of the Amorites in whose midst they were living. They were forgetting the God who brought them out of Egypt, the wandering in the wilderness who brought an end to that and who gave them a land of abundance. And he decides it's time for them to remember who they are, how they got to where they are, to whom they should be listening, and to whom they should be giving their allegiance. And so he gathers the people and he says, decide this day who you will serve as your God, the gods which you knew in Egypt, where you toiled under a heavy burden, or the God who brought you through the wilderness in a land flowing with milk and honey. As for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. We will follow the God of Abraham and Isaac and Moses. It was sort of like, hey, people, when you were in the land of Egypt, how'd that work out for you? Do you remember? Have you forgotten? It wasn't until we as a people turned to the God of our father Abraham that our lives got better. You remember? You know, forgetfulness is a real problem for me. As the hair on my head grows thinner and grayer, the words don't come like they used to. I know what to say. I know what I want to say. But the word that I want to use just doesn't come. Well, if I wait a while, it'll eventually get there. But it really slows a conversation down. And nobody wants to hear from me about 2 a.m. in the morning. And it's very frustrating because I used to do very well on vocabulary tests. Well, that's sort of the way I feel. It's kind of, you know, what our world is like today. I mean, after all, what was it that Jesus said? Do we remember anymore? Or is it all a big blank? In the book of Micah, it's in chapter 6, verse 8, we have the very basic foundation of the Judeo-Christian faith. What is written there is, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That is the basic foundation of the Judeo-Christian faith. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. How does one do that? Well, back in the day it was postulated, if we followed the Ten Commandments, we should be covered. And generation after generation tried to interpret what that meant for those people in that time and in that place. and how to bring that about and how to do that, how to live those commandments. And they also try to figure out how to squeeze out of it. In Jesus' time, his disciples come to him and they ask, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" You know, it's sort of like, well, you know, we know we're not doing so good at doing them all. So maybe we'll be okay if we just do the most important. So Jesus, which one is that? And what was it that Jesus said? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two. All things else hang on these two commandments." Jesus tries to be more specific in his Sermon on the Mount. These weren't all that popular back then. They're certainly not today. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. But take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." That has been turned into "do it to them before they do it to you." Yeah. Jesus also told another parable. Well, he told a whole bunch, but I can't read them all to you this morning. We'll be here until this afternoon. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of creation. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." What was it that Jesus said? "As you have done to the least of these, you have done to me." Can it be any clearer than that as to what our task as the church, the living body of Christ, is? What is it we're being called to do? What are we being called to live? The Apostle Paul puts it this way, writing in his letter to the church at Rome, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers." Folks, I'm not making this stuff up. That's straight from Scripture. If you'd like a more contemporary way of saying this, I would suggest the words of Will Smith, that less-known theologian, more commonly known as the rapper and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. This is from his Just the Two of Us. "Throughout life, people will make you mad, disrespect you, and treat you bad. Let God deal with the things they do, cause hate in your heart will consume you too." You know, being forgetful is a very human thing to do. In an old Reader's Digest, there's a story of a man who flew his own plane But he got tired of the long drive from the airport to the country place, which was situated on a lake. And so he equipped his plane with pontoons so he could land right out in front of his cottage. However, on his first trip up to the country with his newly equipped plane, he headed for a landing at the airport just like he always had done in the past. You know, old habits are hard to break. But just as he was going in for the landing, it dawned on his wife sitting next to him what was happening, and she yelled, "What do you think you're doing? You can't land this thing on the runway. You don't have any wheels. You've got pontoons on." Well, fortunately, her warning was in time. He pulled up from the landing pattern, swung the plane around, headed for a landing on the lake. And after the plane landed safely on the lake, he heaved a really big sigh of relief, turned to his wife and said, "That's about the stupidest thing I've ever done." And then he opened the door and he stepped out of the plane and fell directly into the lake. I hope we as the Church of Jesus Christ don't have to fall into a lake to remember what Jesus said. That we've been given a task, an important task, of telling the story of Jesus and his love over and over and over and over again, so that it doesn't become forgotten. It's a fact. There will be times when we will forget, neglect what we've been taught. But the good news is that it is an understanding and gracious God that we worship, who is caring and forgiving, and who calls us to go and do likewise, to remember exactly what Jesus said. Shall we pray? O gracious and wondrous God, you have sent us your Son to show us your ways, but there are so many competing voices clamoring for our attention that his teaching of your will and your ways gets drowned out in the cacophony of noise. So attune our ears that in the midst of all that noise we might hear your voice and come to do your will. For in Christ's name we pray.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.